and welcome. There's an old saying in politics, where you stand depends on where you sit. And this week, Nitish Kumar made a decision to change where, or at least with whom, he sits. A decision that could have momentous consequences for Indian politics. Was this the abandonment of secular liberal principles, a principled stand against corruption, an acknowledgement that the Modi wave is unbeatable, or simply a desire for a coalition partner where there's a smoother working relationship? To debate it tonight on We the People, in studio we have Devesh Thakur of the BJP, Ajay Alok, spokesperson of the JDU, Naval Kishore, spokesperson of the RJD. We have Kalikesh Singh Deo, Lok Sabha MP of the BJD, Dr. Shashi Tharoor, Lok Sabha MP of the Congress, Professor Markan Paranjpe from Jawaharlal Nehru University, Mahir Sharma, columnist with Bloomberg and Business Standard, fellow at ORF and the author of Restart, The Last Chance for the Indian Economy, and Nilanjan Mukhopadhyay, journalist, author, and Prime Minister Modi's biographer. I want to start first with Mr. Thakur. Congratulations, you are in power in Bihar, irrespective of the fact that the people did not vote for you, but whether it's Manipur or Goa, BJP is ruling.
Thanks for the congratulations.
You're welcome. We mean it. But is that all that matters?
If you see the context of Bihar, you've seen the misrule of RJD from the last in the last 15 years, from 90 to 2005. But 90 to 2005 must be the darkest period in the history of Bihar, as far as corruption, lawlessness, illiteracy, everything going down the deepest of the levels in Bihar. So anyone who has seen that will welcome anything better than that today. And we were very surprised when respected Nitish Kumar left us and went with the RJD in the previous assembly elections. It was really a surprise. But most of us who knew him were always very sure that this is an alliance, this is a marriage that is not going to last. It's a question of time. And that's happened. It was inevitable. You see, in 2014, as you said, we were not voted for power this time. But that mandate was damaged even in 2013, 2014, by those people. They supported, they took away Nitish from us, and they supported him, and they formed another government. So that does not stand. That mandate was for us for 5 years. You gave us a damage. We gave the same thing to you, and you didn't return now. But the difference is, we have done it for the betterment of Bihar. Everyone in Bihar, any sane person in the country, will always say that this has been done for the good of Bihar. It will turn out to be a good thing for Bihar.
Mr. Kishore, this is for the betterment of Bihar, says Mr. Thakur.
Not at all. First of all, let me come with his first presupposition that from 1990 to 2005, it was a period in Bihar for the rise of the backwards, poor, SCs and ST, all poor community, which the rise of those people will definitely not like by the Sangh Parivar and BJP, which is the mouthpiece of Sangh Parivar, number one. Number two, it was a period which saw the great rise of huge population. You will see that 90% of the population of Bihar is rural population. So that for them is a black or dark period. Number two, the going away from BJP was at the condition that Narendra Modi was going to lead, who was the epitome of communalism. We have been against communal forces right from 1990 when Laluji arrested L.K. Advani. So he disliked and he rejected the politics of L.K. Advani, Murli Manohar Joshi, Uma Bharti and Kalyan Singh and all. And he also was pretty clear and stood on that front even in 2013. Therefore, we supported from outside. There is a difference between his support and our support. We supported from outside, did not join the government, and we trusted Nitish Kumar that he has come in the face of saving secular forces.
But today, Mr. Kishore, going back, if you are so against communalism, surely Laluji, who is a veteran politician, perhaps he could have asked his son to step down, because at least then Nitish now has the moral high ground. You could have at least pulled the mat out from under him.
Not at all. Again,
or does family come first?
Again, you are mistaken. Again, you are mistaken. The charges which they have posed right from the past two and a half decades. The thing which was rejected, the case was rejected. He is acquitted. That was the primary case of corruption. This case, which is 120B, in which Lalu has been convicted by lower courts and his appeal on the higher court, this is only in 120B. on which charges there are so many people, dozen of people from BJP, right, from Uma Bharati, Kalyan Singh, who is holding the office, never they have said that they should resign. So on that count, they are on the lower ground. On Nitish Kumar, I have just to make a primary statement that he has been cheater of the mandate, to be very blunt, and he has just done this for the lust of power. Right from 2004 till date, he has never faced any Vidhan Sabha election, which is a popular kind of election. He has always been the member of Bihar Legislative Council.
Why you signed up with him in 2015, yes. Knowing this fully
well. And
Laluji,
whenever, for the first 3 years, which he is telling as a dark period, he faced people and he was on his own. Nitish Kumar, who has aligned with extreme left to the extreme right, in his political history of 2.5 years, he has always told the people that I will be in power by hook or crook. For me, ideology do not matter.
But Mr. Thakur, would you respond to that? From what we're hearing from the RJD, if the CBI and the ED are to be believed, then corruption is only happening in amongst the opposition leaders. No such, have we gone from being a caged parrot to a roaring lion, but who's wearing blinkers and can only see corruption and act on corruption, follow up amongst the opposition? Give me the example of Bikram Manjeetia, Hemanta Sarma, the Vyapam scam. What about Anandiben Patel? Padama. The same charges against Lalu, those are the same charges against her family. Is the CBI only acting against the opposition?
No, that's not true. You see, when you have evidence,
Karthi Chidambaram, Robert Vadra, TMC,
I'll tell you, the JDU leaders have pointed out this case more than 8 years back, not now. All these cases, they
when
were mentioned.
They were with you.
Yes, so what? Yeah. Never mind. So, these were mentioned at those days, that Lalu has done so and so and so and so. Now, when the railway hotels were given to a private hotelier by Lalu Yadav, BJP was not in power anywhere. When the private hotelier gave 500 acres worth of land to Lalu in return, BJP was nowhere in the scene. When Meesa Bharti acquired land worth hundreds of crores in Delhi, BJP was nowhere in the scene. When Tejaswi Yadav had a bungalow in Friends Colony worth more than 200 crores, BJP was nowhere in the scene. So where is the question of
still,
BJP?
It still doesn't
now,
answer my question
and
about
I would,
whether
yes,
the
I'll tell
CBI
you why.
Is
because
acting
until
with equal
the UPA
fervor
was,
about Anandiben
till the
Patel,
UPA
same
was
charges
in power,
against her.
Till the
and
UPA
her family.
Was in power till 2014, I would say, to counter this, that they were suppressing all this. And because Lalu was a very powerful minister, very powerful ally in the UPA, they were suppressing all this.
Not in UPA too.
We should not
interfere. Sir, answer the question.
Right? They were not. They were being suppressed. And after the government went away, the ED, the CBI, the income tax, they found out everything and with evidence.
Okay.
So
caged parrot, but now one-eyed tiger.
That's right.
That's where we are. Okay. You agree, Mr. Thakur agrees on that. Let's go across to Ajay Alok. The least Mr. Kumar could have done, since he was listening to his conscience and it was troubling him so much, shouldn't he have just gone in for an election then?
Things changed rapidly. In the last
within
6 months.
24 hours.
No, within 24 hours. That is for the media to speculate. Things changed rapidly
so
for us.
So you're admitting that this was going on behind the scenes?
No. They were troubling for the last 6 months. Lalu Yadav was trying to be extra constitutional authority. If you have seen the TV channels, every day some or other RJD leaders would have come up, propped up, and they used to levy hundreds of accusations against Nitish Kumar. We kept on asking, don't do this, the chief minister has an authority, but to no avail. Well, we kept on tolerating, because we wanted to save the alliance at any cost. We were always instructed not to give any bites, any things against Mr. Lalu Prasad Yadav, which we followed very religiously, to tell you the truth. But when CBI raided Tejaswi, and we started asking a simple question. Since you happen to be number two in the government, you happen to be sitting on a constitutional post, please go and explain point-wise point in the public domain, technically, not the political answer what you give. Ki ye BJP ne saazish karke phasai hai. But the normal people who are sitting there, who are not your supporters, they have the right to get an answer from you because they have voted for you and they have expectations from this Grand Alliance. Now, I'll give you another classic example. When this Grand Alliance was formed, it was very much in the common minimum program that no tainted people will be given ticket. And for the first time in the history of RJD, the spokesperson is sitting here, RJD selected its 101 candidates without any criminal background. This was
nobody is denying that you had
reason
to break the
alliance. Telling you,
my
I'm telling
question
you.
See, is why go into bed now with the BJP?
Yes, and that also I'm telling you why go into bed. On the agenda of corruption, the Grand Alliance was broken. Now, when we broke from BJP, we had our certain priorities and we have our certain inhibitions about Prime Minister Modi. We were not sure whether it will be the same BJP or not. In 3 years' time, during his prime ministerial time, there were multiple decisions made by him, which we found for the national interest, and we supported it openly. And what happens? Perception changes, and it changes with time. When
okay,
this government
absolutely
broke,
right.
when this
the,
government broke,
past,
and they offered unconditional support, we
Mr.
said
Alok,
fine.
You're absolutely
because
right.
because
in
we
the
were
past,
with
when you broke with the BJP, it was on certain issues, right?
Yeah,
including
issues.
Construction of the Ram Temple at Ayodhya, abrogation of Article 370.
True.
On that,
Common Civil Code.
Exactly. So where do you stand on that now?
We are there only, and BJP knows this. We had our apprehension when we broke it at 2013 that this BJP is going to be different. We had our apprehension then, but due to his work, our perception changed. And to tell you the truth, he has been the most outstanding prime minister ever, and we have been supporting him in all his endeavors.
So everything that Nitish Kumar said about Prime Minister Modi, his
if
silence
you start
on the
counting
clerk,
on who told
all of
about
that
what,
is forgotten now. He's the most outstanding prime minister.
If you start counting about those, then please start counting that what Lalu Prasad said about Nitish Kumar and what Nitish Kumar said about Lalu Prasad has broken all the records in troubling and accusing and malauding Nitish Kumar. Narendra Modi stands nowhere near it. And these type of things keep
okay,
on
so
happening in Indian
this to me.
Politics.
Now,
nothing
Nitish Kumar has selective principles. So he stands by the principle of fighting against corruption, but he's watered down his principles of fighting against communalism.
You started with a line that in politics, it depends. You stand only where you sit. But Nitish Kumar has always stood on firm ground. And we always stand on firm ground, and we will continue to stand on firm ground.
So this is an admission then Mr. Kumar was looking out for his own interests.
No, it's not a matter of own interest. It's a matter of principle. Since the inception of Santa Party and then to Janata Dal United, we have never tolerated a single case of corruption. I mean, our party is a record for that. We have taken resignations
within
half an hour.
Except for when you went in with the RJD in 2015, when Lalu Yadav was convicted
multiple times,
and the charges against Sejasvi are much weaker.
Lalu Yadav was convicted. He cannot fight elections, and he was not supposed to be on any constitutional post. The alliance was with RJD, not with an individual. And like I said, because of our insistence, for the first time in the history of their electoral, they have not given a single candidate with a criminal background.
All right, we also spoke with Shashi Tharoor of the Congress a short while ago, and I started by quoting a column that he wrote for NDTV. Mr. Tharoor, you wrote a column for NDTV on the 8th of November 2015, where you called this alliance a triumph of opposition unity. You pointed out that Rahul Gandhi personally worked to construct the Mahagathbandhan, and he had found a winning formula, is what you had said, that can be developed and extended all the way to 2019. So what went wrong, Mr. Tharoor?
It's difficult to say, because very clearly everyone was disappointed and surprised that a leader who had spoken so eloquently and even passionately against Mr. Modi, the Sangh, what the BJP stands for, the Hindutva ideology and all of that, suddenly decided to turn around and support the very forces that he has been condemning for 4 years. It's something that, frankly, is not easy for anyone to rationally explain. Other than, of course, through the cynical explanation that power was ultimately the glue that wanted to hold him to this particular choice. Look, we are obviously not happy that the Mahagathbandhan, which was a triumph and which I think has given Bihar reasonably good governance for 2 years, is not to continue. But I don't think it moves the principle of opposition unity in any negative direction. This is one party which frankly only had a credible presence in one state that has moved away. And while we will certainly miss that party and its supporters, I think that the principle of opposition unity will see us allying with many other opposition parties in other states in the
next
year.
And who will be the face of this opposition unity?
Well, that is something that the uniting parties will have to decide for themselves. As far as the Congress party is concerned, I think it's quite clear that we expect our leadership to be Rahul Gandhi. But that doesn't mean that Rahul Gandhi is likely necessarily to insist on being the only leader. There will certainly be figures from opposition parties who will rightfully have an important place in any new Mahagathbandhan.
Well, you mentioned Rahul Gandhi, but what does this say about the leadership of the Congress today? Whether it's Goa to Manipur, you were the single largest party, but you failed to form the government there. You were slow to move on nominating Meera Kumar's name for the post of president. Veteran leaders, Rita Bahuguna Joshi, S.M. Krishna, Sankar Singh Vaghela, 6 Gujarat Congress MLAs exiting the party. Is this not a referendum on Rahul Gandhi's leadership?
In each of these cases, there is an explanation possible. And I'm not sure we should be spending too much time going into that level of detail. I mean, just to take Gujarat as an example, Mr. Vaghela clearly had a faction within the party that was loyal to him. And when, with his own reasons, he decided to actually leave the party, his followers were bound to leave with him. And I think it's clear. In fact, one of the followers is related to him by marriage. So these things happen. There are factions, sadly, in all parties and in all kinds of politics. And when times are tough, that's when the factions start heading off in their own personally interested directions.
But if this was so obvious, Mr. Tharoor, shouldn't the Congress have kept this in mind, this Mr. Vaghela's family connections, etc., before you parted ways with him?
Look, there are difficult issues that any leadership of a political party has to face. One, for example, is that if you've given a leader a particular set of opportunities, the time comes to try another leader. Now, if the first leader says, I want yet another opportunity and I'll walk out if I don't get it, you have to make a call. Is that fair? Is that reasonable? Is that justified? Or are you going to say, look, he's lost twice, he's going to lose again, I don't want to take that risk, let me try somebody else? I mean, these are tough calls that leaders of organizations are making all the time in the business world and in the political world. And I guess that in this particular instance, Mr. Vaghela walked away, and you are all very concerned about it and say that it reflects something negative about the leadership. But one could turn around and say the leadership took a hard call, a tough call, that the time had come for a different kind of leader in the state than Mr. Vaghela. And if the price to be paid for that was that Mr. Vaghela would walk out, then I'm afraid that's a price the party would have to live with. Otherwise, you would be in a position where you're constantly enthralled to a local leader who gets to call the shots.
Mr. Tharoor, I'm confused. Are you talking about Mr. Vaghela or Rahul Gandhi when you say the time has come for a different kind of leader? Because many would say he's been getting too many chances.
We have lost an election rather badly in 2014, and the BJP appears to be enjoying an extended honeymoon, linked to the fact that they also have certain ways of conducting their politics, which may not perhaps be exactly what the voters wanted, but they've got more governments than they were voted into, so that suggests that their ways are succeeding from their point of view. Will it last forever? When the next general elections come up, will people only be impressed by their ability at forming governments? Or will people say, where are the jobs we were promised? Where is the economic growth we were promised? Where are our Achhe Din? And when they find that the answers are not so good, perhaps the BJP will find it a little more difficult to form governments than they're finding it right now, when they can always say they haven't been in power long enough to deliver on their promises.
But Mr. Tharoor, for a democracy to actually work the way it should, the way you're describing it, it requires a strong opposition. And the Congress, is it not failing in the one sole duty that it has, the sole responsibility it has today, which is in putting up a strong opposition to this government?
Well, you know, I've heard this criticism before, and I'm not quite sure what exactly that strong opposition is supposed to be. We are raising issues in Parliament. We are indeed raising issues on the street as well. We have conducted a number of effective interventions on issues that are burning issues in the country, from the farmers' agitation in Mandsaur to the fishermen's troubles in Kerala. The Congress has been out there. When the disastrous demonetization was conducted, the Congress Party conducted dharnas in every single major capital in this country and both wrote and spoke to the kind of audience that understands these numbers, why did demonetization was actually a bad decision. So in other words, we have been out there in the forefront, whether it's in the two houses of parliament or in the public space, on social media, in the mainstream media, and on the streets. What more can you ask an opposition to do? If you're going to judge the strength or the determination or the commitment of the opposition by how many elections it is able to win in the short term, then I think you're being unfair. Yes, the BJP won in 2014. Yes, it's controlling a lot of state governments today. As long as we are there to stand up for an alternative vision of how India should be, I don't believe they're going to keep winning. I think there are a lot of people who voted for them last time in the general elections who are embarrassed by the Gau Rakshaks and the mob lynchings, who are unhappy with the kind of violence and bigotry that's been unleashed and condoned by this government. And therefore, I believe a lot of people are looking for an alternative, and we are going to provide them one.
All right. Mihir Sharma, come in on that. Mr. Tharoor says the people are looking for an alternative, and they are going to provide that. But has the BJP taken the wind out of the sails of the opposition? And I say that because if Mr. Kumar was in the opposition, the narrative could have been economic failures. Where are the jobs? Unemployment, farmer suicides, poor implementation of GST or demonetization, coupled with the fact that we have violence by vigilante, self-appointed gaurakshaks. Now it seems, no matter what the opposition says, it will be in 2019, you're either with us or against us on the issue of corruption.
If the opposition allows that to be the only issue that is discussed, then it's not great for the opposition. I mean, they have to be able to try and ensure that a larger number of issues are discussed. Because you can't talk about corruption in a situation where the other guys are the only people in charge of investigating it, right? So the opposition will discover as time goes on that, you know, if the government controls the CBI, the government controls the prosecution, and the government controls the police, yeah, it turns out that only the opposition is going to be corrupt. That's the case all across the world. It's not special to this country. Though, frankly, I have to agree with one thing that Shashi said, which is that you never know where opposition will come from. And definitely, it doesn't seem to me to be a great idea for the BJP to say, we're going to rule in Delhi, we're going to rule in every state, because suddenly there's really nobody else for the people to blame if anything goes wrong. Supposing somebody, a little bit of anger, a little bit of dissatisfaction takes hold, and the BJP is in power from the local authority right up to the Prime Minister's office, who are you going to blame?
Which is why I think Ram Guha said that the BJP prefers to have Rahul Gandhi to continue to stay in power in certain states. All right, Kalikesh, let's go across to you. By throwing his lot in with the BJP, Nitish Kumar is basically reading the writing on the wall. That 2019 is a foregone conclusion for this unified opposition. Anyone taking on Prime Minister Modi is doing so at great personal risk. So is this now a sign for regional parties like yours to stop dithering and come out and, you know, either go over to the BJP? Will the BJD be next?
No, I don't think so. I think we've been very clear to maintain the fact that we are equidistant from both the BJP and the Congress. We certainly don't want to be in any part of a Congress-led coalition. We were part of the BJP until communal rights started in Orissa, and we as a party have opposed that consistently. I think you have to look beyond just coalition politics if you want to assess Nitish Kumar's moves. Nitish is a clever politician. He changes his aura every 5 years. He was earlier as part of the NDA, then went alone, came into the next election as part of the RJD. He actually defeats anti-incumbency by changing one partner of his coalition or his status. I think that's clever politics by Nitish. The fact is, next time around when the elections come, whether it's 2019 or the next assembly election, you will also have anti-incumbency against, of course, Nitish, you will have anti-incumbency against the JDU, but also against the BJP, who's part of his government. So I think the RJD will stand to gain from that in the state of Bihar. But in the current 2019 election, I think, given the Modi magic which is going on across the country, I think, of course, it's likely that the NDA is likely to come in. But it doesn't mean that they will win at all in Orissa. We won 20 out of 21 seats last time round. I think we will hold a good, strong, steady fort even there.
But they won 298 seats in the panchayat polls.
That's Zilla Parishads.
These are 260 more seats than they did in the election before that.
Yeah, so they were a poor third.
No, second. Congress is
They were a poor third before. They've come to a slightly significant second now.
Okay.
We still have almost 85% of the seats in the panchayat elections. It's not as bad as the media wants it to be.
All right, the one thing you can't accuse the BJP of is not hiding what they're saying or hiding behind euphemisms like you are. Amit Shah has made it very clear his next target is Odisha. And what's happening in Gujarat is not only for the Congress. We have a MP from your party who looks like Mr. Panda might be switching over.
Well, you'll have to ask Mr. Panda about his personal directions or steps that he wants to take. But no, I believe majority...
Are you worried that other parties could switch over? Because Amit Shah is very clear. If you can't win an election, you poach the people who can win it for you.
I think the BJP is likely to try and pull people in from every party, especially the BJD. Because they realize the people in BJD are stronger in their own districts in Orissa. But I do not think that people in BJD are likely to jump over very easily, because Naveen Patnaik still remains the tallest leader in Orissa.
All right, Mr. Paranthwai, you just heard Kalikesh. He says this is clever politics. So is Nitish Kumar an opportunist? Is he principled? Is he a pragmatist?
Well, I think that obviously the greatest dharma in current politics is the dharma of survival. And it's not as if the
fittest... So is he pragmatist? Is he an opportunist?
Well, you can sort of label it either way, but I think pragmatism is a very desirable quality in today's politics. He was an ally of the NDA for close to 17 years. And if you go back to the genealogy, the ideological genealogy of the socialists, Lohia teamed up with the Janasangh, JP teamed up with the Janasangh, George Fernandez of Samta was a part of the government. So I don't think this is an overnight shift we are talking about, number one. And I think you have to look from the future to understand the present. And I think he must have calculated that there are two possible scenarios. The more likely one is that 2019 Modi wins. The less likely one is 2019 the BJP led by Modi loses. Either way, he's a winner. If BJP wins, Nitish gets a chunk of the pie. If they lose, then he'll split again from them for 2020.
And go to whom?
No, he can. You see, 2020
because he's
is
never
the
won
Bihar
an election,
election
on his own.
Precisely, 2020 is the Bihar election. So, 2019 will be the trial for Bihar. But the main thing I wanted to say is that when he broke with the NDA, he wasn't sure that Modi would win so decisively. He's a political genius. Narendra Modi is a political genius. And we shouldn't underestimate that.
Sure, but the question is, has Nitish Kumar been played by this political genius?
So I think
Nitish... Let me just bring up something else.
Can I just finish my point? I'm just trying to say that Nitish Kumar has eaten humble pie because he's a good politician who learns from his mistakes. He thought that he could be an alternative to Modi in 2013. Time has proven him wrong. He's changed his spots. And I think that he's come out on top because he's been able to survive.
So it's all about changing your spots. Alok, Kalikesh points out that every time we see an election coming up in a state, we see communal incidents increase. And what happens if that happens also now in Bihar? Mr. Nitish Kumar going to change his spots and where
Nitish
he stands
Kumar,
on communal incidents?
Nitish Kumar has been the chief minister now for almost 12 years. In these 12 years...
Yes, that's the story.
Yeah, yeah, that's
somehow
the story. And he'll continue to be the chief minister till 2020. And we have been with BJP for 8.5 years. Now, tell me a single incidence that with the BJP for 8.5 years, has there been any single communal incidents? No. So where's the question of any communal incidents coming up? It's a matter how you treat your law and order situation. And law and order can always be maintained when the leadership at the top is very firm about it. Now, you see, in any state, in governance, if there is an extra constitutional authority, if they try to be center of powers, definitely law and order is going to be affected. And that was one of the major reasons this time.
So when Mr. Nitish Kumar tweeted and he called out Prime Minister Modi for his silence on the Dadri murders, are we going to see more? Is Mr. Kumar also going to be silent now going forward? Or will he
well,
be
you see,
up
like
something
I said,
like this happens?
Like if you go for the quote and unquote and tweet and retweet, you know. These things keep on happening in Indian politics. No need to give that much weightage. We can move
but
on.
Social media is a dangerous place then to be if you can never go back to what you've said.
Definitely. Social media keeps a record, keeps a tally. Now, if you take out the tally for the last 5 years, you'll see so many spats between Lalu and Nitish that this becomes irrelevant.
That has proven to be true.
So, and social media is a tool that the BJP uses also to win elections.
No, right now, everybody is using social media. When Lalu ji is using social media, who used to say, cheche, cheche, kya hota hai?
Mr. Mukhopadhyay, I want to go back to something that I think two of our speakers have pointed out so far. They say that there was no interference in the government, or they point out to the interference by the RJD in the running of this government, which is why Nitish Kumar claims that he had to step down. Does he really think it's going to be different with the BJP?
But if you look at the three main players within Bihar, you know, look at Nitish Kumar, look at Lalu Yadav and the Congress. I would say that anybody who looks at the entire political process very rationally and in terms of principles, not straight away start looking and saying that is this leader pragmatic or not. I think we as the people of this country should demand that the politicians need to be principled and not pragmatic. There is also this very neat and convenient juxtaposition between, you know, in this era of alliterations in Indian politics, the two C's, communalism juxtaposed with corruption. You know, the way the entire debate is being presented by all the parties is that you cannot fight communalism if you do not side with corruption. So you have to be corrupt if you have to fight communal forces. So, you know, it just keeps on going that way. Mr. Nitish Kumar says that he has, now the fight is against corruption. So he has to go with the communal forces.
when it was very difficult for him because he felt that his prime ministerial ambition could possibly be stymied by the emergence of Mr. Narendra Modi. He felt that communalism was the biggest enemy, so he decided to coincide with Mr. Lalu Yadav. So this entire purpose, you know, you have to look at the how totally disappointed we as people are with the entire lot of the people. Mr. Nitish Kumar's political promiscuity, let's look in terms of it all. Markand very, pointed out his genealogy to the Lohiite days. I would also like to just add a small little point. In 1994, when Nitish Kumar broke out from the Janata Dal U, and in 95, they contested the first assembly elections, who did they have as an alliance partner? The Janata Dal, what was it called? The Samta Party had an alliance with the CPI-ML. The Naxalites.
Extreme.
The enemy number one of the UPA, enemy number one of the Narendra Modi government. So what a canvas Mr. Nitish Kumar has traversed. And I'm sure that he's going to keep on shuffling. This is not the end of Mr. Nitish Kumar's story.
Can I just come in for a footnote?
Look at Mr. Lalu Yadav. 2015, he gets once again back to power. He thinks that the mandate is for him to have the same kind of dismissive attitude towards governance. This man has never put any emphasis on governance. Rahul Gandhi thought that his job had ended with the formation of a Mahagathbandhan. You know, it should have been the beginning of a new political process, but it became the end in itself. So he did not try to convince Lalu Yadav that, Mr. Yadav, let's pay some greater attention to governance, Mr. Nitish Kumar, and force him into a corner and tell Nitish Kumar that you are going to be our leader against communal forces. Didn't do it, play his job, because he was worried that then either of these two are going to challenge my position.
Okay, could have, would have, should have. Mihir, Mr. Mukhopadhyay says that one should be principled and not pragmatic. But in this case, what exactly is Nitish Kumar? Because the BJP is, you know, they have this take no prisoners plan when it comes to spreading their electoral footprint. And what happens if they win in 2019 and look at the Shiv Sena, which is with them in Maharashtra?
Well, I think that Nitish Kumar's primary principle is that regardless of who wins the election, I'm going to be chief minister. And the BJP, on the other hand, has been very clever. It's turned pragmatism into a principle by itself. So Amit Shah can stand up and say, my greatest principle is Congress Mukt Bharat, right? And so therefore, in service of this great principle, I can do whatever I want. I can be as pragmatic as I want. And suddenly, just through that rhetorical flourish, you have made principle and pragmatism the same thing. So, both these guys have a slight advantage because they don't actually have to worry about principles when they go after things, because they can say, in our cases, the ends are so important that they justify the means.
But to go back to Nitish Kumar, did he really have national ambitions, or was he just reading the tea leaves? Is this pragmatism for 2020, ambition for 2019 versus pragmatism for 2020?
I think that there was a point prior to Mr. Modi's emergence in 2013 when Nitish Kumar thought that he was a natural prime ministerial candidate, as well he should. You know, he led one of the country's most populous states, right? And he had been a popular chief minister there for quite a while. And in the process, he forgot that he was a leader of a number three party in one state of the country, right? Now, it turns out that he has been reminded of this. And it turns out that he has come to the sad conclusion that he is, in fact, the leader of the third most popular party in one state in the country. Now, how is he going to still ride that to Delhi? Well, he can't do it with the Congress, right? It doesn't look like the Congress is getting anywhere near Seven Racecourse Road for a while. So why not try with the NDA? Who knows what will happen?
Go ahead, Ma.
I just wanted to add a footnote to both these interventions. You know, there was a book on Nitish Kumar by Amar Sinha, and he called him Lord Turnaround in that book. And the phrase there was that he had turned Bihar around from being a Bimaru state to one with one of the highest GDP growth rates. But here you see he's Lord Turnaround in more senses than one. I like both the points that were made about this, you know, difference between principles and pragmatism. See, Gandhiji said one of the seven deadly sins was politics without principles. But now in the so-called post-ideology age, what is the principle? You know, we have to ask that. So I think for any politician, the principle is to survive. And I think Nitish Kumar has given good governance in Bihar. He's called Mr. Clean, that's one of his names. And for him to stay in power with, you might even call it an opportunistic alliance with a former, you know, ally is perfectly, I think, part of the course, you know.
Okay, so Alok, so what is Nitish Kumar signing up for? He's ready to be a second-rung leader because in the BJP, there's no space on the top for more than, certainly not Mr. Shah and
so
Mr.
True.
Modi.
We are all discussing here Nitish Kumar and we are all doing a post-mortem virtually of his principles and pragmatism and doing everything. Now, I would like to remind you of a few things. Recall 2014 when we lost Lok Sabha election. If he had lust for power, what was the need to resign then? He resigned
then
immediately.
Mr. Manji.
He immediately resigned what Mr. Manji and what Manji did to him. Was it the case of remaining only the chief minister? There was no need for going back to BJP. Why? He could have remained the chief minister. Who was removing him? Even after resigning, Lalu Yadav was saying, come back, come back, come back. It's not a case of power. You cannot continue to be in power to serve yourself. You are in power to serve others. And secondly, corruption was not an agenda of a grand alliance, or for that matter, any alliance. So it was simply not possible for us to be in that alliance. And what we did? We didn't sack him. We just went
Why
to the government.
Why didn't you sack him?
Because they had the right to be in the government. It was an alliance government. You cannot sack anyone in an alliance government. That is the, you know, that is the constraint of the alliance. You don't have full power. So what is the best thing? Well, the best recourse was best. Yes, no, but the election was contested under the name of Nitish Kumar, under the leadership of Nitish Kumar. So what the best moral principle was? Not to sack, but to get ourselves removed.
But did you ask for him to be fired?
Who?
Did you ask for the BJP to go?
No, never. Why we should? It was your moral responsibility. Why are you in a politics? Lok laja, loktantra mein hoti hai nahi. Or you have been just a piece that I'm not going to listen to anyone, I'm not going to resign, come what may, I'll become 2,000 crores in just 28 years. But
so
I'll not
even
explain
ask.
How.
So you didn't even ask?
Never asked.
It's your moral responsibility that when you are in the power, you should have some dignity about yourself. But
okay.
There was no question of any dignity.
Let's get a quick response from the RJD and then we'll go across and see what the public has to say, the viewers here in the audience.
Yes, I have to make just 2 points. One, we look at this whole drama as a design for two reasons. One is that the moment he resigned by hearing out of his conscience, Narendra Modi tweets, he's the first person, perhaps the first prime minister in the post-independent India to give a thumping praise for breaking the government. No prime minister have given this kind of tweet. Number two, within 33 minutes, the BJP, state BJP comes to support and they said, first they said that I will support from outside.
I think Mr. Alok has already agreed it was
yes,
slightly
yes,
choreographed.
That
we get.
Number two, I just asked two questions. One is that when Nitish Kumar himself said that I will work for Sangh Mukt Bharat, mitti mein mil jayenge lekin BJP mein nahi jayenge. BJP Bharatiya Jhuta Party hai. Ye sab kaha hua, on record.
I just don't
and when we believe him, we believe him that mitti mein mil gaye hain by going back to BJP.
You believe someone who's been with the BJP for 17 years.
17 years.
But you
believe him. We believe in the interest of the country, which was led by a person and a party and a parivar, which is known as Sangh Parivar, who gets happiness and political benefit out of mob lynching. Out of Saharanpur, out of Rohit Bimula, out of JNU, out of so many cases in the country. And we are against that kind of politics. Therefore, when we realize that he is coming
back. This is the narrative of these two parties. Yeah. Let's just get some viewers' opinions.
Go through the list of mass massacres
there
in Bihar from 2002 to 2005.
In the past, last 2 years.
There are a dozen instances of mass massacres in Bihar.
Murder.
Mass massacres in Bihar.
All right, can we just get some audience reactions because we're running out of time.
In Jharkhand,
let me just get the audience
speaking.
मैं बिहार से हूं और मैं अपनी पूरी बात रखूंगा सर के सामने सर, जैसे अभी अजय आलोक सर ने बताया है कि हम करप्शन के खिलाफ लड़ने के लिए इस तरह की कोई बीजेपी से समर्थन नहीं है सर आप ही के नीतीश कुमार ने बोला था कि हम मिट्टी में मिल जाएंगे लेकिन कभी भी बीजेपी के साथ गठबंधन नहीं करेंगे। उसके बावजूद आपने गाना भी गाया था, गुजरात से आया था वो अच्छे दिन लाने वाला था, वो कहाँ गया उसे ढूंढो, इस तरह की बातें आपने इलेक्शन के दौरान ऐसे ऐसे गाने गाए हैं और आप इतनी भद्दी भद्दी गालियाँ दिए हैं बीजेपी को और आज उसके साथ अलायंस कर लिए। बिहार की जितनी जनता है, जितने गरीब किसान मजदूर अल्पसंख्यक जितने वर्ग के लोग हैं, आप लोग से बहुत खफा हैं, बहुत खफा हैं, क्योंकि आप लोगों को वो वोट दिए हैं, गठबंधन को वोट दिए, ना कि बीजेपी से भी, क्योंकि बीजेपी एक कम्युनल फोर्स है जो कि हमेशा हमेशा ब्राह्मणवाद को बढ़ावा देता है, गरीबों के बारे में कभी नहीं सोचता है।
ओके, दैट्स वन व्यू, लेट्स ट्राई एंड गेट सम अदर रिस्पॉन्सेस क्विकली।
माय क्वेश्चन इज फ्रॉम द एक्सपर्ट्स। नीतीश कुमार नाइदर बिकम अ नेशनल फेस नॉर ही बिकम एन ओपोजिशन लीडर इन नेशनल लेवल। डज दिस रिप्रेजेंट द ending of the regional parties in India?
Kalikesh?
Nitish Kumar is representing himself. There are many other regional parties who have a role to play.
Base.
And I think if you look at the states, where majority of the states, regional parties have a presence. Apart from the BJP rise in the recent few years, it's been regional parties have been controlling majority of the states and they'll continue to do so.
Sir, my question is Nitish Ji's party is that जो लालू जी की पार्टी है उनके स्कैम्स तो पहले भी आते रहे हैं, बाहर बहुत आए, हर दो महीने में आते हैं, हर दो एक महीने में आ जाते हैं, तो सर इतनी लेट क्यों किया?
तो है पीरियड 30 साल में केवल 4 स्कैम, उसमें 500 लोग हैं, 100 लोग कन्विक्टेड हैं और उनके तीन बड़े बड़े नेताओं को इन्होंने टिकट दिया, जगन्नाथ मिश्रा के बेटा को टिकट दिया है, जगदीश शर्मा के बेटा को टिकट दिया, आरके राणा के बेटा को टिकट दिया, वो सब लोग साझा याफ्ता है उसी केस में,
सारे आप ही के पार्टी के,
सारे आप ही के पास है, अब सब आप ही के पास है।
See, India is a democracy and here people elect their representatives to form the government. But here the leaders are changing the parties for their own interests. Aren't you like disrespecting the decision of the people here?
See, it's not a matter of disrespecting the people's wishes. Because again you have to go in election. Election comes every 5 years. But when you get a mandate, you have been given the mandate to serve the people and serve the state. To take the state in a better direction. Not to serve for the corruption. And for that matter, if a leader has to sacrifice the government, he shouldn't be afraid of. And he has to take a tough decision, he should stand with the tough decision. Because we are here in the power to serve the people, not to serve ourselves. This is the broader principle. And may it be any great leader if you see. They have always sacrificed for the masses, but they haven't made something from the masses. And here it was a contralateral case. People were making something out of, they were in the power to serve themselves. And this was not tolerable. And it was not good for the perception. Because see, all the youth are sitting here. What is the perception right now about the politics? Jaldi paisa kamana hai politics mein chale jao. Is this a good perception today? And if somebody wants to change it, I think everyone should support it. That's the.
But he's not. How do you change it? He's just serving the sentence.
All right, let's get closing arguments because we're out of time, Mr. Mukhopadhyay. Who's going to be the ultimate winner here? Who's played the trump card and who has been played? Is it Mr. Modi and the BJP? Is it the RJD or? Mr. Nitish Kumar.
I think the biggest gainer in this entire thing is Mr. Modi because he's really humbled Nitish Kumar. You know, Nitish Kumar had very famously declared ki us vyakti ke liye, he did not even want to take that names, us vyakti ke liye koi compromise nahi. So ultimately, usi vyakti ke liye aapne compromise kiya.
Who's the biggest loser?
I think Lalu Prasad Yadav is the biggest loser. And I just wanted to... I'm sorry. But I want to say one more thing. I want to say something which is, I think, very important, which is that we shouldn't over-politicize everything. I think that one of the sad things in the public discourse in India today is everything is reduced to very settled and programmatic political positions, whereas what's happening in the country is far more complex. And so calling each other names and reducing everything to political positions actually disrespects, you know, ourselves, we the people as a democracy. That's what I want to say.
But it seems from this debate, nobody really has a position or positions can easily be changed. Respond to this. He says Lalu is the biggest loser. Isn't Laluji actually the worst off? He's up against a wall both politically and legally.
No.
What's next for the RJD
then? He has never lost on any ground. On the ground first, political ground, he has proven more than once. The case came. After that case, he won 3 times. And he was the most single-handedly he won, and he made the government 3 times. If you look till 2005, even beyond 2005, if you look at the case which has been proved is only 120B. which has nothing to do with the corruption. It is only on that case there are
he
dozen of people.
He has made history.
Yes.
Well, let me finish.
Number. He has not compromised on communalism. He has not compromised on social justice.
Sir, these are
he has not compromised
on caste.
He has just labels.
He has thrived only on caste.
You know, if you tell me,
he has thrived only on casteism. That is the biggest pain of this country.
Why is Paswan there? Why is Maji there?
He has thrived only on caste.
On what ground?
Nothing else.
On what ground, apart from caste, you are putting them with you?
Yeah, he has.
You are the master.
Alok, let's go across to Alok. He has thrived on casteism and Nitish Kumar.
You are introducing Prime Minister as
the economic status of the downtrodden.
Mr. Thakur will come to you. Let's go across to Alok.
OBC in this
all
country.
Right, let's go across to Alok. Alok, it's all about caste. Nitish Kumar saw
that
election in UP.
What is his comment?
Mr. Thakur, let's get closing arguments from Alok now. Two questions.
One,
so,
why is RSS till now is headed by only one caste apart from one? What moral life they have? What moral life they have to common caste?
What about the president?
What about the president?
How many names of RSS do you know? How many names in the RSS do you know?
The president is from RSS. He's a Dalit.
Because I have studied and then I'm saying.
That's not all of
political. All right, let's go across. Let's go across to Alok. Alok, it is all about caste. Hold on. One second. Alok, it is all about caste. That is what Nitish Kumar figured out. Because UP cannot be won just on the slogan of fighting secularism alone. What happens now with Nitish Kumar? What is he actually getting out of this relationship? Because Sitaram Yechury has said that anyone who backs the BJP now backs the lynchings of minorities and atrocities against Dalits.
See, the narrative is completely different. It's not a matter of caste, so it's not a matter of creed. Straight away, we have been with the BJP for the last 17 years and we know how to handle each other. They have handled us, we have handled them. So we will handle in a nice manner, don't worry about that. And secondly, this JDU party is not a caste-based party. If you calculate the Nitish Kumar's caste percentage, it's only 1.5%. We are a mass-based party and we are getting support from every caste and every religion. It's not like MY combination that what they're keeping upon. It's not, we are not on MY combination or any other combination.
We are more than that.
We are on a combination of all.
We
are
on caste-ism. Won an election without having to take support.
And let me tell you, talking on caste-ism. 80 seats in Bihar is not decided by Muslim and Yadav.
Can I?
Let Alok finish, please.
I just want to make one comment. Lalu Yadav always creates history. May it be history of massacres, may it be history of corruption, may history of loot. This time also he has created a history. He becomes the first father to damage his own son's political life by his own hand.
Not at all. Even Chief Minister is facing a case
Mr.
of...
Mr. Thakur, closing arguments to you. There are no permanent friends or enemies, just permanent interests in politics.
Yes, I agree.
And that's it. That's your chance to speak.
It's with everyone. It's with everyone. Accept it. With all humility. You see what this poor kid, the young kid said over there. Now, whatever these changes are done in the, you said Goa, you said Manipur, you said Bihar, this and that. Whatever has been done in accordance with the provisions in the Constitution. Change the Constitution. Change the laws.
With the help of the governors.
Don't make the governor important in that. Don't make the governor any. Let him be bereft of all the powers. Change your constitution. Do it. We the people. We should do that.
They don't need. The constitution is successful for more than 70 years. It is RSS
successful.
Which is going to review the constitution.
Successful. There were more than 25 defections in your 15 years of
All right, closing arguments. We're going to Kalikesh and then across to Mihir and then we're done. Kalikesh, what next? You've said you're not going to sign up with the opposition, at least the opposition under the Congress right now. But the BJP is certainly making your leader nervous in Orissa. So what is the option for parties like you, regional parties like you?
The BJP thinks it's making our leader nervous in Orissa. But the fact is, even by the way of the panchayat polls, BJP, if you extrapolate that into MLA results, it wins in about 40 seats out of 147. The BJD still leads in almost 95 to 98 seats, assembly seats. So it's a far number two at this point of time. But yes, we've been in power for 20 years. We need to pull up our socks and revamp our organization. The BJP is working hard. We will work hard. We will not be with the Congress, that's for sure. And we will not be with any communal agenda, that's for sure.
Very.
Mehi, last word to you. Mr. Thakur admits, rightly so, he says in politics it's about your own interests. So where does the JDU actually stand? What does Nitish Kumar stand to gain at the end of this? Will history look upon him as someone who's been played or someone who's played the trump card?
Well, I think that going into the next election, a lot of Bihar voters will be asking themselves that question. You know, the truth is that if you want to go, if you're a young person in many parts of the north or the west of this country today, and you say, I want a strong leader, all right, then your mind turns naturally to Narendra Modi. What does Nitish Kumar have to offer conceivably that is different? All right, he can't stand out and he can't stand up and claim now that he's with Modi that he has anything to his brand that Narendra Modi doesn't provide at a larger and more national level. So why should anyone stay with Nitish Kumar? Very simple. And that's the fate, I think, of most regional parties that will align with something as powerful and as all-conquering as the BJP and the RSS are today. They will get lost.
All right, quick last word, because we're completely out of time.
Absolutely. I disagree to the extent that what people care for at the end of the day is good governance. If Nitish gives them that, he has another chance in 2020.
All right, so it's not clear. Did Nitish Kumar play a trump card? Is it a self-goal? As the cliche goes, only time will tell. That's it. We're completely out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on We the People. See you next week.